There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination in an area which we call Elder Dragon Journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're live back at the Yellow Dragon Journal podcast, episode 89. And also to me is my co-host Nikshas. What up, Nikshas?
Oh, nothing much. Here again.
Again in the sea of the spoilers, once again.
Yep. And lots and lots of spoilers.
You ready to tackle this?
Oh, I'm ready as I'll ever be.
But before we jump into the sea of spoilers, you have Commander of the Week?
I'm gonna go with Joyra. Because I'm going to start testing her more, because I've been playing her today, and she's still not doing the things I want her to do, and that's, you know, dropping Joyra, making everybody's lives miserable, while there's a clock ticking on Yokelhaupts and Eldrazi Titan. Instead, what happens is I try to ramp a couple of few turns, and then I start hard casting Eldrazi's.
I mean, as long as it works.
I need more filtering in the deck. I'll surely have to do...
You are in red and blue, so you should have ample of those effects.
Yeah. Also, I need more cards that make people's lives miserable, like Tanglewire and Stasis.
Yeah, those are all good cards, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe Smokestack?
Can you break the parity on it, though?
I really don't care about my permanent.
I mean, if you're gonna go all in, sure.
I mean, Smokestack is here for a moment when I have something that is taking down, so I can just, you know, everybody just gets rid of everything. My stuff can be uncontested, but I don't think that's going to work as well as I think, so testing out
things. I was gonna say, I don't think you have a Smokestack deck, that's the thing. Because Smokestack is a long-term investment.
Yeah.
You're actually aiming to get like to two or three counters and just keep it there. Tanglewire I can see actually working. And you're in blue, so you have ways of actually getting artifacts back to your hand.
Yeah, I'll definitely look into it.
But yeah, anything else?
Nope, not really.
We did have fun last night when we were playing Commander.
Yeah, having three taxing effects on the field is quite fun.
Yeah, you were playing your Staxi, Captain Sisse. I was playing Alesha, and we were playing with Tess because we were waiting for our mate Philip to show up. He shows up in the middle of our game, looks at our field, and just says, "You guys are insane." And sits disappointed looking at us. There was two Dose on the Falling Leaves, two of the Rim Ringwares, right?
Mm-hmm.
A Cursed Totem and maybe Trinisphere or something like that.
Yes, and nobody was doing anything.
Sounds like a good game.
Until somebody, I can't remember who, randomly just won the game.
That was me.
Oh.
I was setting up my field, and then I saw I had a Revel Arc, tutored for a Karmic Guide, and had Goblin Bombardment out in the field.
Yeah, and I couldn't really do anything because CSA was shut down, and I just... couldn't get to my artifact room.
Yeah, but game 3, when you were playing KNT, you had a really good game.
Yeah, no, I almost had that game if it weren't for those meddling dinosaurs.
Yeah, Tess was playing dinosaurs against me, who was playing Sirku. I almost won that game. Alas, Nezahal kind of screwed me over.
Nezahals do things like that.
I was going to go to just, you know, Isochron Scepter with Dramatic Reversal on it, but that's casting a spell.
And we all know what happens when you cast a spell while a Nezahal is there.
Yeah, you got... you drew into... if I could just get one more cycle, I was gonna Cyclonic Rift all your fields and then win.
Well, good thing.
I was banking on you not drawing the thing.
Sometimes yeah. I draw something good.
But yeah, I had fun playing against you because it's been a while since we played. Luckily, we're playing this Saturday as well, so that's gonna be nice.
Yep.
I say nice, and then there's a bunch of degenerate combo decks coming to my part. But you know.
Well, that's still nice. At least we'll play, multiple games instead of one game.
Mm-hmm. Unless I get my say in the whole thing.
Oh, we'll see about that.
But yeah, I think we have a bunch of things to go through now.
Yep.
So, wanna start us off with what are the Spark spoilers?
So, we can see that Ravnica, despite being in total war against Bolas, is still advancing its space program. First seen in the first iteration of mountains with pillars that look like rockets that are launching.
Or flying penises, one of the two.
Well, I'm gonna go with rockets. You stay with your thing. Continued with Demolish, which again looks like a rocket launch. For the final piece of their space program, we have Parhelion 2.
Miksha, why is it called Parhelion 2? What happened to the first one?
Well, it kind of crash landed.
By kind of, we mean literally in middle of the Azorius Senate.
Yes, it actually crash landed.
So what does Parhelion 2 do?
So Parhelion 2 is a 6 and double white for a 5/5 legendary artifact vehicle, flying first strike vigilance, and whenever it attacks, you create 2 4/4 white angel creature tokens with flying and vigilance that are attacking, and it crews for 4. So after one attack, it's self-sustainable.
Mm-hmm. You know what I also want to add? You know what's actually Parhelion 2? I remember Sacred Foundry from Return to Ravnica block.
Yeah.
This is it. Holy moly. What do you think about the card itself?
It's a huge beat stick.
I mean, like we said in the pre-show ramble, this is a literal Battlecruiser magic.
Yep, you crew your Battlecruiser, and then, oh look, you have a card called Solar Blaze. That's for 2 red and a white sorcery, each creature deals damage to itself equal to its power. And in the art, there's the Parhelion 2 that's just blasting away at some pesky Eternal, so it's kind of like a Yamato cannon.
Basically, yeah.
So you have your Battlecruiser, and there it is, that's the whole space program.
This is the perfect card for casual Magic, isn't it?
It is.
It's eight mana, costs a lot to actually crew it, but once you crew it and start smacking people with it, isn't it beautiful?
You know, if it had haste,
that
would be nice. I really wish it had haste, because then I would probably get myself a foil copy so I can play it in KNT, because, you know, the first rule of making it to a KNT is, are you foil?
I mean,
Parhelion won't make the cut if it's not foil. It just won't.
What I was gonna say, I still might get a foil of this just because one day I might make a totally casual all-lore Agros Kos deck, and this needs to go in there.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Agros Kos, I think his friend showed up.
Yeah, but Agros Kos is still non-existent.
We kind of expected that.
No, nobody expects the sudden retcons. Nobody expects the retcons in Magic. But
what
okay.
What I was nice and segueing into until you screwed it up, Feathered the Redeemed is here. Our good old friend Feathered, who used to fight with Agros Kos, she's here and she's actually pretty good. Red, white for a 3/4 angel, legendary, flying. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell that targets a creature you control, exile that card instead of putting it into your graveyard as it resolves. If you do, return it to your hand at the beginning of the next end step. How does she look?
Well, she looks really interesting because it's a Boros legendary that doesn't revolve around beating stuff to death.
It still can.
I mean, it still encourages you to beat people to death by using pump spells and not losing them, which is really good.
There's so much you can do with this. You can Chaos Warp a thingy.
Yeah, you can Chaos Warp your things every turn.
Electro Dominance. If you need to put something into play real quick, you can Chandra's Ignition on, let's say, Feather or something else, and still keep it. You know what's fun? Seize the Day.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And if you have Seize the Day and Aurelia out.
Oh, okay.
Tiber Battle Rage is also fun.
Yeah.
Also, Fell the Mighty.
Yeah.
You know what that... Yeah, there's so many things. If you need to, if somebody's gonna kill your feather redeemed, you can just path to exile your own feather.
Or you can, you know, path to exile anything you control, because it, yeah, it doesn't have to target itself.
Most likely they're gonna target the feather, let's be serious.
Let's be honest, yeah.
Aurelia's Fury becomes real good.
Aurelia's Fury is suddenly an actual good card.
Mm-hmm. It just took it, what, 5 years? 6, 7?
5 years and a legendary angel.
Psychotic Fury is also nice.
There's a lot of things that are really nice with the feather.
That red thing that says the target creature gains haste until end of turn, draw a card. It's suddenly one red draw card.
The options are really, really wide for her as a commander. It's really interesting because, you know, as I said, it doesn't have anything to do with combat damage. I mean, it can, but you can go full on control as well.
Yeah, and it's a good old friend feather, and she's actually looking kick-ass, and I like it.
Yep.
Still kind of sad not seeing Agur's Coast with her, but you know.
And a certain son that had, you know, the demon itself in him.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. We can move on to a new planeswalker, I guess.
The blue one?
Yeah.
Hit it off. What does she do?
So, Kasmina, Enigmatic Mentor, is a 3 in a blue, 5 loyalty planeswalker, legendary planeswalker Kasmina. Spells your opponent's cast that target creature or planeswalker you control costs 2 more to cast. And for -2, you create a 2/2 blue wizard creature token, to draw a card and discard a card.
First of all, didn't I see this character in, like, Warcraft?
You probably did, but I'm guessing she's less psychotic here.
Like, for the time being, because they don't know anything about her.
We don't know actually.
Onto the ability itself, let's first focus on the...
Well, on the passive, because that's the reason you're playing it.
It's really good.
It's... I guess it's good. I really can't tell, because I haven't I haven't felt much of these effects over the time, even though they, like, exist. Like, I used to see it on just the Blue Titan.
Mm-hmm.
And on that one dragon. But applying it to your creatures and planeswalkers? Well, if it said yourself too, then that would be a lot better, but...
It would be a bit too much for an uncommon. Although seeing some other uncommon planeswalkers, I'm not sure, but...
Also, it's just spells.
Yeah, because uncommon, again.
Of course, yeah. But okay, it makes a 2/2, it also makes a guy and cycles.
And if you have something like Wizard Tribal, then maybe Wizard Ball or something else in that line, you get a guy you can use for many other effects like Azami. Also, you get to draw a card.
And she protects your team.
Mm-hmm.
She might be better than I think, but again.
It needs some testing.
Yeah.
We did talk about Ralzarek, right?
We did. There's an infinite combo with him in Standard, but it's too convoluted to actually be.
And you can't use it in Commander because it requires 2 copies of the same card.
It actually doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't?
It only requires Ral, it requires Double Cast, and the Expansion Explosion.
Yeah. I still hate the naming convention of those spells, by the way.
No, which one?
Expansion Explosion. Because it doesn't have anything to do with one another. Life, Death, and things like that, I like those because, you know, it's easy to remember. You remember one half and the other is, you know, just the opposite. Or Assault Battery. That is also nice.
And, like, Brags to Riches.
Yeah. This is just like, what the hell. But enough of my nitpicking. Let's carry on with the show.
So, we go to Saheeli, which I'm sure we didn't.
Pretty sure we didn't.
So, what does she
do? Saheeli, Sublime Artificer. 1 and a hybrid blue-red. Legendary Planeswalker Saheeli with 5 loyalty. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, create a 1/1 colorless silver artifact creature token. First of all, how strong is this passive ability?
I don't know.
In artifact decks, you can cast many non-creature spells. Hell, if you just go Dramatic Scepter, you can get infinite number of servos. And just casting your stupid mana rocks is gonna net you an army. But -2, target artifact you control becomes a copy of another artifact, target artifact or creature you control till the end of turn, except it's an artifact in addition to its other types.
Now, is that breakable?
pretty sure you can find a way to break it. Or if not break it, just abuse it to living hell.
I mean, it's cool when you get your random 1-1 servo tokens and then just turn them into, I don't know, like a worm coil engine or something like that, and use them as some kind of fodder. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Get your sacrificial things and just sacrifice the 1-1 tokens. But then again, you can use it only twice, unless you're going into some heavy proliferate thing.
I mean, this set has brought us actually good proliferate cards, so it couldn't even, it wouldn't even be that far of a stretch.
Probably, yeah.
You can always be a fun person and copy your Blightsteel Colossus. Spread the riches, spread the fun. what's also another abusable artifact that you could use?
Mana vaults?
I guess. That isn't too bad. Mana crypts and things like that. I'm thinking about things like Phyrexian Evoker and things like that, but those are when it comes into play, so...
Yeah, so they won't really...
You can copy another Trinisphere?
Because why not?
Because you're an asshole.
But it only copies things you control.
Yeah, to keep it, I guess,
sensible. To keep it somewhat balanced.
And, again, an uncommon.
Okay, an uncommon.
It's a lot to ask for.
It's interesting that these -2 planeswalkers have 5 loyalty, so you can actually not kill them. So you can keep proliferating.
Also, what I noticed with a couple of these uncommon planeswalkers, they're better than rare ones.
Yeah, Dovin especially.
Speaking of him, what does he do?
Dovin, Hand of Control is 2, and a hybrid blue-white. And he says, artifact, instant, and sorcery spells your opponents cast cost 1 more to cast. 5 loyalty. So this passive is already pretty strong.
Holy crap, is it?
It pretty much is. And just to make things better, he has, for -1, until your next turn, prevent all damage that would be dealt to and dealt by target permanent and opponent controls.
I'm not sure where to start, because that passive is holy moly good.
Well, we start by saying that he costs 1 white or blue in Grand Arbiter Augustin.
Yep, that's kinda good, and Augustin is searching for these types of effects.
I dislike the fact that you play Thalia on 2 and you can't play Dovin on 2, even though they both would work swell together.
Mm-hmm. Luckily, you have Grand Arbiter Augustin to help you with the attacks, I guess. But he's just really, really good. It turns out one-sided spheres of resistance, almost, are kind of good.
And he also, he's blue, which I mind because I can't play it in CC.
I also mind I can't play him in Alesha or Bloodpod.
Oh well, Grand Arbiter it is.
Dovin is really, really, really good.
Again, and better than his past 2 iterations together.
Which is fine enough, but you know. Want to talk about Jaya?
Well, we just got Jaya, so we can mention.
Jaya Venerated Fire Mage for 4 and red 5 loyalty. If another red source you control will deal damage to a permanent or player, it deals that much damage plus 1 to that permanent or player instead. And -2, she deals 2 damage to any target, which means 3. No. Yeah. I misread. I mean, it isn't bad if your stupid goblin tokens attack and suddenly they deal more damage than it should. That's good.
Yeah, that's good, but I really don't know why it says another.
It would be too broken if she dealt 3 damage to any target, I guess, for -2. You're paying 5 for it. She's not much, we just want to mention her because she's a good gal, Jaya.
Well, as uncommon planeswalkers go, this one is, well... one of the least...
She's the one you would say, oh yeah, that's how an uncommon planeswalker should look like, not Dovin-like.
Yeah.
No, she's really good for... She's okay for, or good for, an uncommon. Want to talk about triumphs?
So, did we go through Liliana's triumph?
We did.
Very early.
But I would like to actually open all 5 of them, just because of the flavor text.
So, let's do it.
Problem is, we don't have actually flavor text for Liliana's Triumph. Because it's a promo.
It's a promo and it's probably going to be spoiled, like Friday.
Mm-hmm. But, to tell us about Chandra's Triumph, then we move to all other ones.
So we have Chandra's Triumph, which is for one and red in an instant. It deals 3 damage to target creature or planeswalker and opponent controls. And it deals 5 damage instead if you control a Chandra planeswalker.
I think you forgot the most important part.
Her triumph came not from achieving her ideal self, but from rejecting the idea of perfection.
What I like about these triumphs is that it shows our main characters actually, you know, growing up as characters.
Yeah, and it's not like, in contrast to their downfalls where Nicol Bolas defeated them all, it's not them defeating Bolas in a way, but defeating some part of, or some person or some thing, event or anything that, well, was against their own ideal, I guess.
Oh, I don't know, idea of ideals.
Idea of ideals, sure.
A card itself is sure, whatever.
But there, she burned a innocent law mage.
I'm not sure Dovin Bahn is that innocent.
I'm sure he's completely fine.
First of all, never saw his papers. He's a little immigrant to Ravnica.
But then again, so is Chandra.
I mean, she's okay with being a terrorist, as we've seen on the Kaladesh.
Wow, okay.
Did I say something wrong? She was legitimately a terrorist on Kaladesh.
Well, some people called her...
No, I didn't say that she was positive or negative. She was fighting the regime. And she was using terror tactics by, you know, destroying public property and things like that to fight the power. If you're going to interpret her actions or good or bad, that's totally on you. Next up is Nissa's Triumph for green-green, a sorcery. Search a library for up to 2 basic forest cards. If you control a Nissa Planeswalker, instead search a library for up to 3 land cards. Reveal those cards and shuffle your library. Her triumph came not from destroying the unnatural, but from fostering life. This is kind of bland, the flavor text, honestly.
Yeah, and it's also like, all these others were like, they defeated some big evil within them. They outsmarted someone or something. They were all like major character developments, and you have Nissa is like, hey guys, I made this tree walk.
It's almost like Nissa is a crappy character.
Oh, wow, Nissa, you did that during literally every plane you visited, so...
Good job. Good
job, you reanimated V2 Ghazi.
Speaking about on the card itself, first half is okay for 2 mana, but if you control an Nissa Planeswalker, you get to search for any land.
And 3 of them.
Yep.
Do you know what lands come in a cycle of 3?
No. Oh my god.
It's like they're trying to set up the stage to reprint them in standard.
I don't think that's gonna happen, but you know.
It's going to happen, you'll see. This core set, they're bringing back Tron land.
We'll see. By the way, but the thing you were mentioning, the first comment on Mythic Spoiler is, her time came from making a big plant man on every plane.
Yeah.
Good job, Nissa. I'm so proud of you.
They probably completely forgot the part where she can reprogram ley lines in, well, any part of the plane, including living beings, if they're under the influence of ley lines. You know, that superpower that they made up for Amonkhet, it would probably be really handy here on Ravnica.
It was the plot hook we used once and that's it.
Yeah, she forgot.
Wizards forgot.
They all forgot.
Tell us about the Jace's Triumph. If you don't have it open, I can read it.
No, I definitely have it open. So Jace's Triumph is 2 and a blue. For a sorcery, you draw 2 cards. If you control a Jace, draw 3 cards instead. His triumph was not in outsmarting Bolas's plan, but in understanding why ultimate power is self-defeating.
This is a good one. Because he finally figured out, I don't actually have to be smarter than him because I can't. But Bolas is going to trip on his big stupid dick and he's going to wreck himself up.
Yeah, that's one of the parts of the story I dislike, but okay, sure, fine.
I mean, were you actually expecting Bolas not to trip on his huge dick? The only thing he was missing was the...
I kind of was, but I wasn't expecting the writers not to make him trip on his big balls.
The thing is, he only was missing a twirling mustache to, you know, to be the complete villain we all knew him to be.
never thought of him villain, just a very misunderstood individual.
Yeah, but he was really villainous in this.
In this whole arc, he was kind of really villainous.
Turns out, when you make a huge army of dudes to invade the other plane to get a bunch of planeswalkers there and steal the sparks, you're kind of being seen as, you know, a baddie.
And, you know, that whole plan was kind of doomed to fail from the start.
Gee, surprise.
I mean, I don't understand how Bolas didn't realize this.
Because plot?
I guess, sure.
Let's go with plot. Yeah, Gideon's triumph just received the flavor text because we read what the card does. His triumph came not from victory over his enemies, but from the salvation of those who survived. Basically, I don't need to beat everybody up, I just need to make sure, you know, that biggest amount of people are safe.
Yep, just like Gideon always wanted. All since that time he got his friends killed.
Yeah, he was a bit cocky, shot the wrong god with the wrong spear, and there we go. Honestly, I like Gideon as a character, I hope nothing bad happens to him in this set. Foreshadowing. Let's carry on. What's next?
Well, speaking of Nissa's triumph, we have Awakening of Vitugazi for 3 double green instant. You put 9 +1/+1 counters on target land you control. It becomes a legendary 0/0 elemental creature with haste named Vitugazi. It's still a land. So,
I mean,
you know, for 5 mana you get a 9/9 creature at speed.
Or you put it on Inkmoth Nexus, Blinkmoth Nexus. Or Inkmoth. And make it a 10/10 flying infect creature. I hear that's kind of okay.
Well, for 5 mana, getting a 10/10 infect, that's decent.
On the other hand, how fun is it to kill a 9/9 trampled land with the Ghost Quarter? Oh my god. I just pushed a huge elemental a bit and there we go. Or even better, Tragic Slip.
The Vitugazi, like, the center of Ravnica, and you're like, yeah, just give it a slight nudge.
Into this empty grave.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, the problem is, it is 5 mana for a huge 9/9 dude, it dies to many things, and it's just a vanilla beater.
That's why you need to put it on Darksteel Citadel, and then you're safe.
That's good.
But still... people are going to die to this in standard.
Tragic Slip is always funny with huge creatures. Talking about things slipping, topple the statue. Not an important thing. I mean, kind of an important thing. 2 in a white instant, tap target permanent. If it's an artifact, destroy it. Draw a card. Bolas cared little for when his statue fell, thinking it was a useful distraction, underestimating the surge of resolve it gave his opponents, aka the serfs and peasants got angry. And it's funny because this destroys the Bolas' statue. That's kind of fun.
And it looks like it's Vitugazi though.
And then it slips. Any important cards for this day? I think there actually is like one or two.
Yeah, there's one really big one.
Literally, big one.
So, we finally got Sneak Attack as a commander in Ilharg, the Race Boar. 3 double red, it's a 6/6 boar god with trample, and whenever it attacks, you may put a creature card from your hand onto the battlefield, tapped and attacking, return that creature to your hand at the beginning of the next end step, and when it dies, or is put into exile from the battlefield, you may put it into its owner's library, third from the top.
This is gonna be the template, the last part, that they use on all the Amonkhi gods, spoilers, and this guy. And this guy is here in the set because we couldn't have Hazoret.
Because Hazoret is kind of not dead.
And we needed to complete the cycle. What do you think about Ilharg?
He's a fun guy.
Actually, he's a boar, not a fun guy, but you know.
He seems kind of fun. You know, 5 mana 6/6 trample by itself is really, really powerful. And just, you know, attacking with Ilharg and putting in, a Galta or something like that. Talking about standard, yeah, right?
Even in Commander, this is good play.
Yeah, just attacking with a 6/6 trample that puts in, Craterhoof Behemoth.
Yeah.
And guess what? You get Craterhoof next turn again.
Wanna get even more fun? You attack with this guy. put Saruman Senate into play. Combat resolves, main phase ends, and then you set up triggers that first Saruman Senate triggers. Everybody discards their hands, and then you put it back. Or, if you're staying on the Blood Pod, you attack, put Elish Nord into play, kill all the small dudes, hit for a million, and then just get her back.
It's kind of protection from removal.
Yeah, and it's good for taxier decks, because once, if this is in play and you Armageddoned, and nobody can, you know, have a bunch of mana, you can put your big heavy beaters with this into play. Without casting them, just get them back.
Or, you know, just attack, put an Avacyn in, and then Armageddon.
Yeah, that's also a thing you can do. And also Tess is excited for this, because it's a sneak attack on a goddamn creature that can be a general. I'm looking actually to get like 2 to 4 copies of this guy.
He seems...
Want to talk about the other gods as well, while we're at it?
Sure. Let's go on ahead.
God Eternal Kefnet. A legendary creature, zombie god for 2 and a blue-blue. He's a 4-5 flying. You may reveal the first card you draw each turn as you draw it. Whenever you reveal the instant or sorcery card this way, copy that card and you may cast a copy. This copy costs 2 less to cast, and the clause that we said about exiling or removing. So, the first thing this does is if you have a scroll rack and a time warp in play, you have all the turns.
Sure, why not?
Even if you have some cheaper extra turn effect that even exiles itself, it doesn't matter because you just copy the spell.
Yep.
Sheesh, this guy is really, really, really good.
This is such a cool effect. But do you have to reveal it? Do you have to reveal it before you look at it, or you like look at it and then reveal it?
No, you reveal it immediately.
Oh.
First card you draw, you reveal.
So you're almost playing with your hand drawn. With your hand revealed.
I mean, if you have something like Senseless Divining Top, you already know what's gonna happen, so... But this guy is really good. And even if you have infinite turns and don't have a win condition, you have a 4-5 that flies.
And 4-4. And even copying simple spells like Ponder and Preordain is really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get them for free, and you draw a card. So you draw extra cards with
it. I mean, even if it's something more expensive that costs 3 mana, now costs 1 mana.
Yeah. No, the only problem is it doesn't work with the spells. Well,
oh no, poor you.
Next up, we have God Eternal Bontu. For 3 and double black, it's a 5-6 zombie god with menace. When God Eternal Bontu enters the battlefield, sacrifice any number of other permanents, then draw that many cards.
Sheesh.
And, you know, the god thing.
This is also a powerful one-shot effect, but still really good.
Well, if you have 8 mana, you can play God Eternal Bontu, sacrifice everything you have, draw a bajillion cards, and then Second Sunrise everything back. Something like that.
That's cute. Plus, really, really good. Also, you can just play it in something like Prosh. Cast it, get it into play, eat Prosh, amongst other things, draw a bajillion cards, then just do the whole thing all over again.
God Eternal Bontu reminds me of the partner.
Krav or something?
It's not Krav the... Is it Krav? Krav the Unredeemed or something.
Unredeemed, yes. Unredeemed. The guy who spiked to bajillion dollars, right?
Yeah, because people figure that he's kind of actually good. I mean,
took him a while.
God Eternal Bontu has one upside over him, and that's that he can sacrifice lands, which is... probably relevant in something like the Black Panther.
The Black Panther.
But other than that, I would probably run Krav over God Eternal Bontu because he's, you know, repeatable.
Mm-hmm.
But still, sacrificing permanents can be quite relevant.
I mean, depending what you have to sacrifice, you can have a bunch of things that are really strong, but have some big downside. Or Abyssal Persecutors. Oh, I'll just get this guy into play, sack my Abyssal Persecutor, now you all die, and I draw a card.
Cool.
Want to talk about Ronas?
Go ahead.
God Eternal Ronas. 3 green-green, he's a legendary creature zombie god, 5-5. Death touch. And whenever he enters the battlefield, double the power of each other creature you control till the end of turn, those creatures gain vigils till the end of turn. He's a big boy.
And he makes other boys even bigger.
Sheesh. And combine him with something like Xenagos.
Ouch.
The god, yeah.
Ouch. That's a lot of damage.
Yep. This is a really straightforward effect, but sheesh, you can finish the game with
that. It's really green.
You can finish the game with that.
And it's not just one, it's all of your creatures.
Double it. It's basically an overrun. You just miss a trample.
I'm sure you can manage to give more trample.
If only
deck.
Green had those effects, yeah. Mm-hmm. Plus, all the gods look really cool.
Yeah. Oh, is God Eternal Lironas like the first mono green zombie?
Nope. You had the guy from Innistrad. The one who has haste and has undying. No, that's a spirit. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a spirit.
I don't think it is. But I can't remember any.
A bit of research work will tell me everything I need to know. And speaking of research work, can you tell us what Tamiyo...
Let's first finish the gods. We have Oketra.
Oh, I forgot that there...
Yep, she's Whoops. Not good. Read what she does.
The Diadem God. So it's 3 double white for a 3-6 with double strike. And whenever you cast a creature spell, create a 4-4 black zombie warrior token with vigilance.
I mean, the ability is nice. However, Luminarch Ascension is a bit better. Bit better bang for your buck. Oh my god, words are difficult.
But does it go infinite?
How does this go infinite?
Well, you have a grave crawler.
Mm-hmm.
You have a Phyrexian altar. That's it.
I guess, yeah.
That's it. That's all you need to do
to
go infinite mana.
I don't think that Phyrexian Altar and Gravecrawler needed a bit more help with going infinite.
You always need.
Do you though?
Yeah, of course.
Because this is implying we're playing a zombie deck, right? We should have enough zombies for Gravecrawler and Phyrexian Altar to go infinite.
Yeah, I mean, just God Eternal Oketra makes it easy.
But we have to play white though.
Well, we do have that Esper Zombie Commander.
Yeah, we do, but I...
Although I don't know why would you play her instead of, you know, the Scarab God.
And there we go.
And those are the gods, right?
Yes, they are. And also, Ghoul Tree is a zombie tree folk. That's mono green.
Okay.
I did my research. I knew there was something, just couldn't remember what.
Man, cheated out by a damn tree.
By a damned... we were going to talk about what you said, Tamiyo. Mm. So, Collector of Tales, for 2 green and blue, 5 loyalty. Spells and abilities your opponents control can't cause you to discard cards or sacrifice permanents. Holy moly.
I mean, not such an explosive effect because we already had some of those.
Yes.
But not with the can't cause you to discard cards.
Yeah, but... this effect is quite rare, the can't sacrifice permanence. Really rare.
It's on 2 other cards. And
one of them is a green-white legendary angel.
And the other
is an elf.
Is an elf. Just a random dude. That protects you, that somehow protects you from Eldrazi Titan.
That's why it was in the set.
Yeah.
Plus one. Since this is rare, it has a plus and a minus. Choose an unland card name, then reveal the top 4 cards of your library. Put all cards with the chosen name from among them into your hand and the rest into your graveyard. Not that good of effect in Sigil no format, but this is Tamiyo and she does actually encourage you to research and prepare. Don't like the effect, but I really love that this effect is on her. Because it makes sense.
Yeah. Unless you're, playing something like, let's say, Damia, and you're going for, I don't know, Relentless Rats or the... What are they called? The
Apostles? Or the Petitioners?
Petitioners. Petitioners are kind of better.
But also, you can just play, normal blue strategy of having something like Future Sight, Senseless Divining Top, and having, prepared yourself. And if you're playing something like the Buxy DC, oh no, I'm putting things into my graveyard.
Oh no. Also for Scarecrows, because, I don't really care if I hit my creatures. I get stuff in my graveyard that I can recur.
And the -3 says return target card from your graveyard to your hand, so it feels... you whiffed! Well, guess what? I'm rewarding you for whiffing anyway. Tamiyo is cool. And
yeah,
her face seems to have gotten a bit chubbier. Spark Double, what does that do?
Spark Double? Spark Double is... it was... and can't actually find it. So can you go over Spark Double?
Yes. 3 and a blue.
Damn thing.
Three in a blue creature illusion for 0/0. It doesn't pass the vanilla test, but you know, it's fine. You may have Spark Double enter the battlefield as a copy of a creature or planeswalker you control. Except it enters with an additional +1/+1 counter on it if it's a creature. It enters with an additional loyalty counter on if it's a planeswalker, and it isn't legendary if that permanent is legendary.
So if
it
you,
sucks.
So if you copy Gideon, you get both +1/+1 counter and a loyalty counter.
Yep. Your beefcake is really big. It sucks that it's your only your planeswalker creature, but it makes sense why they did it, just for balancing purposes.
I mean, getting an additional bolus is kind of insane.
Getting an additional Jace the Mind Sculptor is already good.
Getting an additional any good planeswalker is kind of insane.
Additional Tybalt is... Why are you doing this yourself, honestly?
Well, you can't play it in the Tybalt deck, because Tybalt is obviously your commander.
Sure, let's go with that.
Who won't allow you to play Tybalt here as your...
On the serious note, this works real well with, you know, all the Adept stuff from previous sets. Because you get the +1/+1 counter, so it triggers. And there's a bunch of other stuff that you can use it with, and just getting a bigger dude than you already had is always fine. Want to read Enter the God Eternals?
Oh, wow. Okay, so Enter the God Eternals. It's a 2 double blue and a black for a sorcery. Enter the God Eternals deals 4 damage to target creature, and you gain life equal to the damage dealt this way. Target player puts the top 4 cards of their library into their graveyard, amass 4.
Four.
I mean, why didn't it say to just gain 4 life?
Because if it has some effect that doubles the damage, so you can get more life. Just,
but
you know,
there's not enough 4s then. And why does it cost 5 and not 4?
Balance?
I don't care about balance. Make it double blue, double black.
You see, when you don't care about balance, you get Kaladesh block, Nixon.
Be quiet, by the way.
I just wanted to mention this card because A, the art is nice, B, 4.
And speaking of, I'll get to that point of this set being really powerful later. We can enter the other day of spoilers.
Yeah, Bonds, because there's a bunch of them, so let's talk about them first. So basically, Bonds are not that important of cards because of their effects, but the art and flavor text is important because you see on Born of Passion, you see Gruul and Boros guy casting a spell together, and you see their symbols combined. And on black one, it's Rakdos and... this is
Golgari.
What? Golgari. On blue one, you see Dimir and Izzet. White is Orzhov and Azorius. And green one is Simic and... What is
Celestia.
Yeah, I keep forgetting names. Basically, they're all cooperating now that this is the, you know, 11th hour. And this is maybe foreshadowing that next time we come to Ravnica, because we know we will, we're going to have shards instead of guilds.
That would be cool, but I would rather go back to Alara for some shards. And, you know, I see this as more of a one-time cooperation thing, and then they'll go back to hating each other.
You see it like this, but you know that everybody loves shards, and Alara could become something different, because it is no longer, you know, the shard plane. Everything is connected now.
And, you know, maybe under the guidance of Niv-Mizzet Reborn, who has the power of all 10 guilds in him. He is Captain Planet. He is the Captain Planet. And he'll probably, like, say, okay, guys, you play nice together now.
But first, we need to read the Vestals so he could actually die. And then...
So we know that in the story, at some point, well, Niv-Mizzet gets killed. Looking at Firemind Vessel, which is a 4-mana artifact that enters the battlefield tapped, and it adds 2 mana of different colors, it also says, the city mourned Niv-Mizzet's death, but he left behind the components for his rebirth.
So joking, I'm back.
So he was kind of, well, counting on being killed at some point, you know, because he's Batman. He has a backup plan for everything.
You know when you're playing Magic and you're just hoping that guy attacks you so you could actually get him with the removal spell? He was basically, yes, please, 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 yes!
you know that Parun, that one with that smirk? He was like, yeah, come on, waste a kill spell on me.
But Fireman's Vessel itself, it's a good card, isn't it?
Yeah, it gives 2 colors.
It comes into play tapped and that's bad. But getting 2 mana of different color is actually nothing to scoff at. I can just tap it to pay for Lesha's ability. Let's put it like that.
And also, while the bonds aren't really anything special, I kind of like the Bond of Flourishing, because mm-hmm. it's for one and a green, a sorcery, that says, look at the top 3 cards of your library, you may reveal a permanent card from among them and put it into your hand, you put the rest on the bottom of your library, and you gain 3 life.
Oh, it's a really good effect.
So if they ever, like, ban Stirrings,
mm-hmm.
this is an alternative, I guess?
I'm gonna actually maybe put this in Yisen, because it puts everything else on the bottom of my library.
Mm.
I can choose mm. one dude or one land if I need it and put the creatures on the bottom of the library. I mean, I like Bond of Discipline for limited purposes because it just says you win the game. And if you don't, you still have enough life, so it doesn't matter. Did we miss it? We did, right?
We did, a long time ago. He was leaked way
yeah.
before.
And we are not honorable people who are like, no, we can't show the leaks. We used to be like that, but now we're like, we just want to talk about cool cards.
Yeah, we just can't be bothered to see which leaks are confirmed and which are not.
Yeah.
So like,
Finale of Promise. Let's do the whole cycle mm-hmm. while we're at it. X and red. You may cast up to one target instant card and or up to one target sorcery card from your graveyard, each with converted mana cost X or less without paying their mana cost. If a card cast this way would be put into your graveyard, exiled instead. If X is 10 or more, copy each of those spells twice. You may choose new targets for the copies. Sheesh. And basically that's how Niv-Mizzet got reborn, by the way.
Oh, that's him in the art.
I think it is. Because he was like, oh, you're stealing all the sparks.
Oh, yeah.
Yoink, I'll take it.
Yoink my sparks now.
Yep. But the effect itself, what do you say about it?
This effect is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just for a low casting cost, you can choose up to one target instant. Okay, so for one and red, you cast both Preordain and Brainstorm.
Bolt? Yeah, or Bolt or something.
I mean, just getting Preordain and Brainstorm for 3 mana, that's very valuable.
For 4 mana, getting just a Braid back and some sorcery for 2 mana, like Strategic Planning. Not bad!
So, among all the finales, I would say that this one is kind of the best.
No.
Oh,
the
wait,
green one.
The blue one.
No, there is the green one.
Oh, there's the green one. Okay, sure.
Green one is stupid. But read is the blue one first.
So, the blue one is Finale of Revelation. For X and double blue, sorcery, draw X cards. If X is 10 or more, instead shuffle your graveyard into your library, draw X cards, untap up to 5 lands, and you have no maximum hand size for the rest of the game. Then exile it.
Read the flavor text.
Ugin saw the gem that connected Bolas to his meditation realm as the key to his brother's downfall.
So, I don't know. Don't know what to read from the flavor text, because I'm not sure how the story goes. I didn't read the leaks on the MTG Salvation, so I do not know.
The thing is that Bolas' spark isn't really his spark, he made it himself.
That's
by
pretty cool.
Using the Gem of Becoming that's between his horns.
Mm-hmm.
And since the meditation realm that we thought that Bolas made for himself isn't actually his, he actually just took it from Ugin.
Uh-huh.
And Ugin's like, yo, bro.
What a nerd, he got his drum stolen.
And then he just sent him back. That's it.
Oh, cool. Effect is alright, I guess.
Also, for 12 mana, you draw 10 cards. You first shuffle your graveyard into your library, draw 10 cards, and untap 5 lands.
But that's 12 mana, though. I'm supposed to be winning.
Yeah, that is
kind
of a lot, but still.
If you pay, like, X is 5, is it worth it?
7 mana to draw 5 cards?
No, we have effect that says for 7 mana draw 7 cards.
Yeah, and we also have an effect that says for 7 mana you draw 4 cards, instant speed.
Yeah, so it's like, next finale is the black one. Finale of Eternity, X black sorcery, destroy up to 3 target creatures with toughness X or less. If X is 10 or more, return all creature cards from your graveyard to the battlefield. When you rule by fear, your greatest weakness is one who is no longer afraid, and you see Liliana charging at Bolas.
Yeah, except that, you know, Bolas didn't rule through fear, because, I mean, you're scared of him, but he's not bluffing. Like, Bolas is not bluffing when he's threatening you.
That's why you're afraid of him.
I mean, it's okay that you, like, if you're not afraid of him, okay, he's still... there's a difference between ones that bluff that they're going to kill you if you don't listen to them, and then there's Bolas who will actually kill you if you don't listen to him.
Yeah.
So, I disagree on the flavor text when it comes to Bolas. I mean, it's a good flavor text, but not in Bolas' case, because Bolas rules by being, you know, just better than you at everything.
Apparently, your biggest fear is your older brother sending you to your room.
That too, yeah.
Card itself is... For 12 mana, I already could have gotten my creatures. Actually, for 10 mana, I could have gotten all the creatures from all the graveyards under my control. But the good thing is, if you pay extra more, you first destroy up to 3 target creatures, right? And then you get everything back. But it's from your graveyard. Oh yeah, that's bad. I thought this...
I mean, for, like, standard, it's a 3 mana, destroy 3...
Yeah. But for EDH, it's like... It's sorcery. The white one is interesting.
So Finale of Glory is a X and double white for a sorcery that creates X 2/2 white soldier creature tokens with vigilance. And if X is 10 or more, you also create X 4/4 white angel creature tokens with vigilant, with flying and vigilance.
Holy crap, if you pay X for this, that's actually really worth it.
Yeah, I'd still rather play the white Sun Zine.
Definitely, but you get so much if you pay. This is actually worth 12 mana.
Yeah, for 12 mana you get, well, you have a win on board and your opponent has to stop you.
Yeah, because previous ones were like, okay, sure. This one is actually, okay, I'll get in my mana's worth. Which is ironic because this is a mono white one. You're not supposed to get your mana's worth in mono white. it's even funnier if you have the Divine Visitation out. You create X 4/4 white angel creatures with flying. And then if X is 10 or more, you also get more 4/4 white angel creatures tokens with flying.
Yeah, but then your other X angels lose vigilance.
No, they don't.
Well, Divine Visitation makes 4/4 angels, right?
With flying and vigilance. If you pay X, you get this much of them, but you also get even more of them. Nice. Nothing much more to say against about this one. You get dudes.
You get a lot of dudes.
Yeah. And the mono green one, Finale of Devastation, and we see a dinosaur. That's cool. X and a green sorcery. Search a library and or graveyard for a creature card with common mana cost X or less and put it onto battlefield. If you search library this way, shuffle it. If X is 10 or more, creatures you control get +X/+X and gain haste until the end of turn. Some spells sing a quiet tune, others roar.
Yeah, especially when you get Crater Hoof.
Yeah, that's fun, but this is one of those, even if you don't get 10 or more, it's worth it. You scale what you want to get with this one. You want a dork? Sure, you got a dork.
It's just one more mana more than a green sun.
But it doesn't specify green creature.
Yep. You can still get a land for 2 mana.
You can, which isn't bad. That's Rampant Growth.
But yeah, this is one good. Playing it for 10... or more, just wins you the
game. Really, should you win the game? And if you get Crater Hoof Behemoth, becomes even funnier.
You win the game twice.
And we all know it's important to win more.
Always.
Okay, this was the finalist cycle. Moving on to Eugene, right?
My man.
Your man.
So this is one of those leaks, but whatever. Ugin, the Ineffable. Is a 6 mana legendary planeswalker Ugin with 4 loyalty. Colorless spells you cast cost 2 less. For +1, you exile the top card of your library face down. You may look at it at any time. Create a 2/2 colorless spirit creature token. When that token leaves the battlefield, put the exile card into your hand.
Okay, this is a really strong ability.
It's strong because he protects himself. And when the protection disappears, you gain cards.
Yeah, you actively kind of want his protection to go away.
And if it doesn't go away, well, you're hitting people.
That's kind of okay. What does the minus say?
And minus 3, destroy target permanent that is one or more colors. I'd prefer it said exile, but okay, yep. Sure.
Previously, Eugene was doing all kind of things to color the permanents.
Yeah, but this one's rare, so they had to power him down a little bit.
And also, this one has a passive ability.
The one that makes your color of spells do less. Not too impressed with it, but it might come in handy.
For commander purposes, your rocks get even cheaper. Guess what? You don't pay any mana for the Felver Stone. Hey, of course, he's 6 mana, but...
Not a big deal, he's colorless.
What does Tron say about this guy?
Depends on what kind of Tron you want to put him in. The normal mono-green... combo Tron, the one with 4 cards, there's no room for this kind of effect. I mean, none of his effects win you the game.
Yeah.
So he's kind of useless there. If you're going for a more longer game green Tron, then he's okay because card advantage. He's good in blue Tron, I would say, because, you know, card advantage and protection. And then you have Eldrazi Tron, which is... This one goes really well there, because he makes your things cheaper, which is quite relevant. He gives you card advantage, which is quite relevant, and he destroys things that block your 5/5 tramplers, which is quite relevant. So, in all parts of him, he's quite good for Eldrazi Tron. The only part... The problem is you're playing Eldrazi Tron in 2009.
Womp womp. Anywho... Moving on.
Oh, he also makes your, those, what are they called? Those stones that make counter spells with X. Chalice.
Oh, yeah.
It makes your chalice, like...
way more fun.
A bit more fun, yeah. But since you're here, you're like, you don't really need the help.
He makes your cards cheaper. The 4 mana ones. That's not bad.
Yeah, I like him. And he's rare, so he'll be, like... Available. Quite available.
What, do you think people are going to open this set?
Yeah, you're right. This set is just, you know, it's not going to be
It's baloney. Moving on, I want to talk about Ashiok first. The Dream Render, one and a hybrid blue-black. Legendary Planeswalker Ashiok, 5 loyalty. Spells and abilities your opponents control can't cause their controllers to search the library. Sheesh.
As if Tsirtsu needed more help.
I really like this effect, Shadow of a Doubt on a stick. You don't draw a card, but that's alright.
But then again, your opponents don't search anything.
Yep, tutors, water tutors. And minus 3, target player puts the top 4 cards of their library into the graveyard, then exile each opponent's graveyard.
Minus 1, sorry.
What's great about this effect, the minus 1, you can play it in something like a Tasigur. Mm-hmm. Oh no, I feel my graveyard. Nobody has a graveyard, but you tell me, what can I get from it?
Yeah, I just didn't notice that you can mill yourself.
Yep, also Muldrota.
Of course.
Yeah, this is gonna help Muldrota a lot.
Wow, and this is, again, this is an uncommon.
Yep, this is a really strong one, and I'm looking forward to getting this one. Plus, what the hell is happening to Ashik's head? I know it's always been like that, but what the hell?
Now it's even more so.
Person, dude, they get help.
Next up? I would mention Commands the Endgame.
Because Marvel?
Because what? Oh.
Marvel.
Oh, of course.
Do you think it's an accident they are, the pre-release is on the same weekend that the Endgame is?
It's not.
And the plot is basically...
The same.
Yeah.
So, Commands the Endgame is 4 double blue, instant, this spell can't be countered. Draw 2 cards, then amass X, where X is the number of cards in your hand. And the filler text is, even gods shall need Nicol Bolas.
I mean,
but
you draw
two cards look at it this way. It's not a 6 mana draw 2 cards. It's a 6 mana, 6 mana, instant speed, 8/8, that draws you 2 cards.
Is it an 8/8?
Well, let's say you have 6 cards in your hand.
You see, you make an assumption.
You're in blue. You're going to have plenty of cards in your hand.
Unless there is, you know, a Sire of Insanity out or something like that.
Even if there is a Sire of Insanity, it's, you know, his trigger ends, you get 2 cards, and suddenly you're left with it's a Maldrifter. And Maldrifter is a completely fine card.
Also, you know what what's amazing, this spell can be countered. Usually they say by spells or abilities.
I guess they remove that part because they, it's probably, you know, obsolete. But again,
I mean, it's not. Some, it's not though.
Some cards are still either can't be countered by spells or can't be countered by abilities.
No, no, but this spell can be countered by spells or abilities isn't obsolete because there's still things that can counter it. That's game rules.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean...
It's not an obsolete line of text. That's the thing.
I can't think it is, but hey. I mean, yeah, sure. Commands the end game can't be countered if you suddenly, during the resolution, lose the game. Then, I mean, sure, it's not countered.
I lost the game, but it's still happening.
It's still going to happen. Unlike some other cards that, you know, can't be countered by spells or abilities, but they are still countered if, you know, you lose the target.
Yeah. But anywho, that's a minor tidbit. Also, the Noah Bradley art is beautiful.
Speaking of beautiful.
Oh, deliver unto evil, maybe. Mm. 2 and a black. Sorcery. Choose up to 4 target cards in your graveyard. If you control a Bola Planeswalker, return those cards to your hand. Otherwise, an opponent chooses two of them. Leave the chosen cards in your graveyard and put the rest of them into hand. Exile, deliver unto evil. Seb McKinnon has done it again. This is a wonderful art. But more importantly than that, this card is actually strong.
Yep, a gifts ungiven from your graveyard.
Mm-hmm. Or fact or fiction or whatever.
And if you control, if you just, you know, randomly have Bolas in play, it's a 3-mana draw 4 cards.
Mm-hmm. 3-mana tutor 4 cards from your really big zone, which is a graveyard.
Yeah.
But imagine this card in foil. This is the first time we said the sentence on the show, by the way. On this episode, I mean. Took us a while.
We were talking about foiled Parhelion 2, but... We never actually said imagine this in foil.
Yeah. Another card that's interesting is the Elder Spell. Wanna read that one?
For a double black, a sorcery that destroys any number of target planeswalkers. Then you choose a planeswalker you control and put 2 loyalty counters on it for each planeswalker destroyed this.
You have to have a planeswalker for this thing to resolve?
No, because...
Good.
No, you don't.
My friend, who's been in and out of Magic for a while, he read this card, he was like, well, this is broken. I was like, why? But it kills any number of planeswalkers. I'm like, yeah, but it just does that. And then what do you do if I have a bunch of creatures smacking your face, but no planeswalkers?
Well, that's the thing. There are no creatures because you obviously played Nicol Bolas Dragon God, and then you Elder Spelled your and your opponent's planeswalkers and just -8.
I don't think, yeah, but this isn't a broken card.
It's not.
It's a fun card against Atraxa.
And it's a fun card in Atraxa.
Yeah.
You know, just, okay, I don't have my doubling season, but my Tamiyo could be really useful if she had her ultimate up. So let's just sacrifice everything I have to make her ultimate.
Or just, you know, oh, these assholes have like 2 planeswalkers. Swipe. What's next to talk about? The Oath?
Casualties?
Either that or Oath of Kaya or something. Pick whichever you want to talk about first.
Casualties of War is a 2 and double green and double black for a sorcery that says choose one or more. Destroy target artifact or creature or enchantment or land or planeswalker. So it's like a slightly, it's a better decimate because you don't have to have 4 targets. But then again, it's 6 mana for a slightly better decimate.
Yeah. I won't be running this because it's a bit too much mana for just kill one of each thing.
But it's still 6 mana for a 5-4-1.
You know what's the nearest best comparison with this one? Windgrace's Judgment. Remember that one?
I do, but that doesn't destroy... But that one doesn't destroy a land.
Yeah, that's... But you can destroy, you know, one for each opponent. This is just pick things. This is still a bit better, but they're comparable.
Also, Judgment.
Yeah. So there's
so automatically better.
But yeah, this is a...
It's a fine card.
It's a fine card. I'm not gonna run it, but I won't, you know, judge people for running it.
So, you were mentioning some oaths?
Oath of Kaya. Why is she making an oath? But let's ignore that one. One white and a black. Legendary enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, it deals 2 damage to any target and you gain 3 life, which is not bad. Whenever an opponent attacks a planeswalker you control with one or more creatures, it deals 2 damage to that player and you gain 2 life. So everyone gets what they truly deserve, I will keep watch.
No, I mean, okay, let's just, like, she's taking an oath, and this was supposed to be the, like, the final episode of the Gatewatch, but okay, let's ignore that.
Apparently we're keeping more watches.
Oh.
Swatchwatch shop has less watches than the Gatewatch. But want to talk about a better card than this one?
No, oh, you mean Blast Zone.
Oh my god, I mean the Blast Zone.
So Blast Zone is a land that enters the battlefield with a charge counter on it. You tap it to add colorless. You can pay XX and tap it to put X charge counters on Blast Zone. And you can pay 3, tap it, and sacrifice Blast Zone to destroy each non-land permanent with converted mana cost equal to the number of charge counters on Blast Zone.
First of all, fun how they enabled it that you can't just destroy tokens willy-nilly.
Yeah, but they also enabled it that you can destroy 1-drops quite easily.
I really like this land.
This land is really cool, yeah.
We have this land, we have the Flash land earlier from the spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really good set. And this card is really powerful.
And again, I think that in any other set, this would be mythic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a rare.
Just a rare. I really like this land. Just paying 3 mana to kill everybody's soul rings is good. The thing is, the Ooh. Floor oh. is quite high.
Hmm?
The floor is itself is quite high. The ceiling is whatever you want it to be.
Yeah. Yeah, you just pay double X and put...
Whatever
also,
you want.
Also, you know, proliferate, is it?
Yep.
And why isn't there a proliferate that goes backwards so you can kill tokens?
There is the Soul Diviner.
Yeah, there is the Soul Diviner that removes the counter from a land. That's
yep.
a point.
So they were thinking about that one. Synergy.
Synergies, yay.
And we're finally reaching the end of the day, the last day, right?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, refresh your browser because a new card has come out.
Okay.
I want to read that new one first.
Okay.
So, Commander Dreadhorde, 4 and a black. Sorcery, and it's the scene from the trailer. Choose any number of target creatures and or planeswalker cards in graveyards. Commander Dreadhorde deals damage to you equal to the total converted mana cost of those cards. Put them to the battlefield under your control.
Ouch.
Yeah. Greatness at any cost, right?
Ouch. That's a high mana cost for a price that's actually... It's really close to just killing you.
That's fairly costed for you can do whatever the hell you want if you can pay it.
Ah, wow.
And don't worry, there's effects that can actually help you to mitigate this, like Platinum Empyrean. I'll take everything!
and one more effect in this set, and we'll get to it.
But yeah, this is a really powerful effect that's fairly costed, and it's gonna cost even more than just the mana.
But,
like, sheesh.
Damn, it might just do, like, a lot.
It could win you the game. It could not.
What?
I like the card. Ooh, this is actually well-designed. Actually good design. What's the next thing we want to talk about?
Let's go with... Arboreal Grazer. It's a 1 green for a 0/3 reach creature beast. And when it enters the battlefield, you may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield tapped. I mean, I'm just mentioning because it's a cute effect.
Also, it's a cute looking art.
I mean, if I'm playing Waltron, then I might do something with this.
It doesn't have Defender, though.
I can see why they made it to have only reach and not defend. This is a
yes.
conscious decision.
Yeah, yeah. I like it's any card from your hand.
Yeah, it's any land. So, again, another confirmation that they're putting in Tron new core set.
Alright then. Want to talk about 2 cards that we need to read side by side? So, Price of Betrayal. For black sorcery, remove up to 5 counters from target artifact, creature, planeswalker, or opponent. First of all, you can remove experience counters with this.
No, it's opponent. You can't remove poison counters yourself.
Yeah, never thinking about that. You can pay 1 black mana to kill a planeswalker with this one. But that's not what we're talking about this card. The moment Liliana defied Nicol Bolas, her contract was broken and her life was forfeit. But she was free to choose her fate, and she decided it was worth the price.
Good for you, Liliana.
However,
unfortunately, we get to Gideon's sacrifice. For one white mana, it's an instant. Choose a creature or planeswalker you control. All damage that will be dealt to this turn to you and permanents you control is dealt to the chosen permanent instead, if it's still on the battlefield.
And then the field.
To Liliana's surprise, the cost of betraying Bolas did not fall on her.
Yeah, he gave his life.
Because he suddenly gained the ability to swap his invulnerability for her contract?
No, I think it's more of a... He gave the invulnerability for a little while to her. Because he was using this destruction magic, I'm gonna guess, with on Liliana.
Well, he wasn't using destruction magic because she broke a contract that ends her life if she does it.
I'm gonna go with, I don't know. Or he just somehow managed to take that damage onto himself.
It's store, it's plot device. That's what it is.
And this is quite sad, but wanna finish that on a higher note? So, Heartfelt Redemption. 2 red-white instant. Discard all the cards in your hand. Draw the same amount of cards discarded this way plus 1. Then gain life equal to the number of cards in your hand. Just talking about the effect, I bloody love it. I'm gonna play it in Alesha. I was waiting for something like this to come. And I first read the effect and I was like, yes, sweet, this is great. Then I read the flavor text and my heart kind of broke. Kaitian knew every day of his life. Now, finally, he knew peace. And on the art, you see him as Kaitian on Teros in the afterlife with his friends. Finally happy and hugging them. And oh my god, this is a bit too much for me.
Well, the big beefcake, finally. Finally, he can rest.
Yeah, what most likely didn't hear, because maybe I remember to put Drangensh silences, was like 5 seconds of silence. Because we were like, damn. We both love Gideon. We don't like Liliana.
No. I don't have anything against Liliana. I have against the fact that she didn't die.
Well, I have more against her now that she took Beefcake away.
It wasn't her fault. Beefcake did that.
Maybe she wasn't being traitorous to everybody. She wouldn't have died, just saying.
If she weren't so greedy, none of this would have happened.
Yes, that's the point. It's all her fault. But this card is stupidly good. I want it in like foil, and it's gonna be cheap, because it's an uncommon, so I'm gonna get it in foil. Hooray!
Well,
rest in peace, Gideon, though. Rest in peace.
We still have a couple of more cards.
Mm-hmm. Like the Planeswalker?
Yeah. So, we got Narset, Parter of Veils, for 1 and double blue, an uncommon. It's a 5 loyalty, and each opponent can draw more than 1 card each turn.
Why isn't she white? I want this in my decks.
Me too. And for -2, look at the top 4 cards of your library. You may reveal a non-creature, non-land card from among them and put it into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library.
I mean, she does the normal Narset thing with the -3 and -2, but she's that passive ability.
That passive ability is worth it for a 3-mana. For a 3-mana, well, almost enchantment, but also giving her an upside.
Mm-hmm. You already pay 3 mana for that effect in white, and you get a 3-1 enchantment. But it says every player. This is just, no, you can draw all the cards you want, no biggie.
Oh yeah, it's also blue, so yeah, Tsirtsu.
Yeah.
Because why not?
I mean, maybe I'll put this in Tsirtsu, whatever, but this is just strong effect on its own. But I think her signature spell is much better than herself.
Yeah.
Narset's Reversal. For a blue-blue, it's an instant. Copy target instant or sorcery spell, then return it to its owner's hand. Basically, it could be remand. You may choose new targets for the copy. This does so much.
Yeah, like, I look at it and it's just, okay, so I just copy their removal and they have to cast it again. But apparently there's like more stuff you can actually do. I don't know. If they're casting a finale for X is 10, then...
Yep.
Okay, guess what? I guess I'll win the game instead of you.
Also, if they're casting Ad Nauseam, guess what? I'm gonna combo off first. Or if they cast Dovin Zaban, guess what? I can counter it.
Yeah, you didn't counter it. You returned it.
Yep. This is good because uncounterable things, you can counter it. Commence the end game. Guess what?
It's not countered. It's like, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you.
Yeah, this is a really strong effect, and people are going to be playing this.
It's nice, yeah. Her hairstyles seem different.
I guess depending what type of magic she uses.
I mean, it's different artists, but, you know, I mean, except for her armor as well, it's different as well. But still, her hairstyle seems significantly different.
I'm gonna go with it's the two different artists. They were all, you know, in cahoots and talking about how to make them, but they all put their own different spins on it.
Mm-hmm.
But on the low side, this is gonna be just a counterspell. On the highest ceiling, it can be so many broken things. Wanna talk about Sarkhan the Masterless?
You mean the Sarkhan that makes Tybalt good?
Yeah, it makes all the Planeswalkers better.
So, Sarkhan the Masterless is a 3 double red, 5 loyalty Planeswalker Sarkhan. Whenever a creature attacks you or a Planeswalker you control, each dragon you control deals 1 damage to that creature. Until end of turn, each Planeswalker you control becomes a 4/4 red dragon creature and gains flying. And for -3, create a 4/4 red dragon creature token with flying.
Yeah, this is good.
You like play 2 Tybalts and you're like, yo, what are those Tybalts going to bleed on me? Oh,
but
you'll see. You'll see, and then suddenly Sarkhan comes and then the Tybalts punch you and then you die.
You know what this does? If you're playing a super fan deck like, let's say, Jodaf in 5 colors.
You actually have a win condition?
Yes, you actually get a win condition in super fans. It's actually really, really good.
Also, that Sarkhan works really well with Jaya. Because suddenly your dragons deal 2 damage.
Oh yeah! That's really good.
So, and whenever they attack you or a Planeswalker you control, so, you know, your little dudes just... they're non-existent.
Also, give your creatures death touch.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That also works.
So yeah, this Sarkhan is actually, his passive is
Mm-hmm.
Okay, giving death touch, life. Yeah, okay. I'm sold.
Yeah, he's actually really good. If you play him in a dragon deck,
even
completely
better.
Fine. If you play him in a Planeswalker's deck, it still works.
Still works.
No, this is actually a really good iteration of Sarkhan.
Mm-hmm.
He just needed to get away from that idiot Bolas and actually become good. Next card I wanted to talk about was Prison Realm. 2 and a white, enchantment when it enters the battlefield, exile target creature of Planeswalker and opponent controls until it leaves the battlefield. When it enters the battlefield, scry 1, but the text I wanted to talk about is, after millennia to craft victory, Bolas had eternity to contemplate defeat. So he's finally getting defeated.
Yeah, it's like, you can see that he doesn't have the gem between his horns.
Yep.
It's because Ugin got him, and now they're on the meditation plane, which is his eternal prison.
They both are there? Oh, they're gonna fight for so long.
They're gonna fight for quite a long time.
Until they get bored by it.
It's the thing is that they couldn't just kill Bolas. Because if you kill Bolas, he'll reincarnate on Meditation Realm.
Womp womp.
So they had to strip away his spark and trap him on.
Yeah.
But hey, maybe in like 15 years they'll be like, there's this huge evil, and we have no idea how to defeat it, but there is one being that could help us. And then,
Tybalt.
And then they... yeah, and Tybalt says, yeah, I know this other guy that can help you. And then they go to the Meditation Realm, and Bolas is like there. He must be desperate to come seek my help.
But they get Eugene to go follow along because he's a chaperone.
Yeah, but they can't have Eugene leave the plane because then Bolas would be like, okay, I'm out of this plane too.
Ha. Huh.
Well, speaking of the Bolas's defeat, there's also this card, Tyrant Scorn.
Oh yeah.
It's nothing special, but the flavor text. The hero with the magic sword slays the dragon, not this time.
Because Gideon jumps to slay the tyrant, and then the sword breaks.
Yeah, because what else would...
I mean, no, what the expectation is, the hero jumps, attacks the big bad evil guy, and then he gets him. Not this time.
I mean, it's just a sword.
I mean, it makes you really strong and all that, but in the end, just a sword. Also, while we're at flavor text, the Dusk Mantle operative.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that special, but Gideon eyed the Dimir emissary wearily. Could your agent slip inside Bolas' citadel? The figure met his gaze with icy resolve. We already have!
Of course. Remember that episode when we were talking about the power level of Ravnica? Well, for starters, Niv-Mizzet predicted he would die here, and he predicted that he would be resurrected, and that at that point he would steal all the sparks that Bolas was gathering. Also, Dimir operatives were probably in Bolas' citadel before it was even built.
Yeah.
They probably knew his plan all along.
I love Dimir so much.
So, yeah, there. But Ravnica survives Bolas because it's Ravnica. And even though they removed their greatest and most powerful defenders, you know, it still wasn't a contest.
Yeah. But that's the set so far.
And so far it's quite powerful.
Yeah, but not in a this is Kaladesh powerful. No, we're just talking to be like, what the hell is this set? But we're actually loving it.
Yeah, I think that part of Kaladesh was the whole energy thing that was non-interactive. While here, yeah, there are these cool planeswalkers that do cool effects and have cool passives, but guess what? You can just kill them.
Yeah, there's the proliferate, but still, you can kill them.
You just attack them and they die. They play the planeswalker, you play a creature. I mean, you're kind of still, you know, winning. By
unless
playing creatures instead of planeswalkers.
Unless you attack them and then their Sarkhan kills creatures.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. But yeah, the set all over, liking it.
And also maybe they're making it a bit more powerful because they want to go to a plane that's less powerful, like, I don't know, Kamigawa.
Oh, yes, please.
So they can, you know, make a slightly underpowered cards so people won't be like, you know...
Not even underpowered, you can just make it, you know, to synergize as well with this set.
I mean, realistically, Theros would be ideal because of Feather.
Yeah.
You know, heroic and stuff. But okay, I can see them going to Kamigawa even though nothing synergizes.
You have creatures, they attack.
You have creatures that attack, that's really good with Ninjutsu, yeah. I forgot.
By the way, just a random thought. Narset's Reversal and Approach of the Second Sun. Is that a combo?
Wait, what did you say? Narset Reversal and Approach of... It is.
Oh, cool.
It is. Okay. Okay, I can see that Narset Reversal has some...
some utility.
Has some interactions and some...
I guess if people play instants and sorceries, I guess. Who does that anymore?
You have all these...
Oh yeah, we forgot one card to mention. Return to Nature. One and a green, instant, choose one destroy target artifact, destroy target enchantment, or exile target card from a graveyard.
So it's naturalized but better.
Yep.
In every possible.
Yep.
Unless, you know, you don't want to get your stuff from graveyard exiled, and then they suddenly Narset Reversal, and like, and you're thinking, why didn't I just play, you know, naturalized? Although that
That's
doesn't work
point.
That way.
But still.
Okay, and...
Is that it for the time being?
That's it for what we know so far.
This was a long show. Almost 2 hours again. Luckily, I have a day off tomorrow. Niksha does not.
I'll be fine.
He will in fact suffer for both of us.
I'll try.
But yeah, we are gonna be meeting up this Saturday to be playing some games. We might actually even show you guys those games, but we'll see how it goes.
Let's hope we'll manage to find a solution.
Yeah, but this has been episode 89 of the Elder Dragon Journal podcast. This has been your host, Igor, and as always with me was my co-host, Niksha.
That's me.
And as always, the Emperor protects.
And now so does...
Oh.
The blood of my brothers has been swallowed by the ground. Unbelievable insatiable thirst, the lines break. Tide swats and rushes forth, my arms shake. I am swallowed by the storm surge. But I will turn from this, we will emerge from this. Ignore the creeping dread that slid us up our spines from this. Yet I'm the final dirge. Hear me! I command a standard, so we'll stand and face a chaos scourge. I count the days as to come, turn to a month now. Still with perseverance we raise the body count. Besides the pangs of pain, know that I know your face. You'll know mine when every death is repaid. Burning bastions sanctioned by your chaplains. Line up every sect while I align the battlements. 10,000 lights burn out in a blink. With a star set prepared to hold before this brink of the precipice. One light to wind with disaster. Try the funeral song. One reason that you hold on. Show me the war, master! And those I thought were my brothers have turned their backs on the fold. The Yadmans I time now hold. We hid ourselves in the dark. Foundation shook. Step out of the sunlight till we emerge. Luna wolves. Now we wait on our haunches. Coiled. Soon I will find my vengeance. Gets a despoiled. I can't forget the sight of their becoming poison. Suffering immaterial death. Fate unavoidable. Knife meets back. This brother meets bloodshed. Return to give the devil tapping to the serpent's head. Backstabber turn go. Chain of command failures. Minute to lower swords as it ducks through your defenses. Tide turns again and not in our favor. My forces place a death, but not once do they waver. And as the palace is breached, I'll take what I can reach. Aim for Avedon's throat. Your life is beyond reproach. By the despicable's hands, our hope is scattered like sand. And every outcome I wanted sits above the unhaunted. Should have kept deeper still, burying my grave to fill. Soon I will have all your heads. You should have said I was dead. And I can still see their faces. Their trusting look led astray. Only blood can amend this.